The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Good Monday morning to you, Field and Matthew, hanging out with you to recap all but one game from week six of the NFL season. Got a good show today, Matthew and I, plus a double dose of Dops. We've got Mama Dop in the building today. No wonder Daniel's so happy this morning.
Yeah.
It's a big day today, Field. Big day.
Not only do we have two Dops in here, we have two Dops, both wearing Detroit Lions jerseys.
As we should be,
one
by
pride.
The way. That's right.
Two doses of one pride here, of course. The Lions take on the Packers tonight on Monday Night Football. Kyle Soppe, now married, heartily rooting for the Green Bay Packers.
He was so scared he couldn't even show up to work today.
Wow.
That's how scared he was.
That's right.
Throwing it down.
How about that? Shots fired plus.
Anyway, welcome, Mama Dop. It's always good to have the mother of Secret Squirrel, Mama Squirrel. I prefer to call her Mama Squirrel. She, of course, brought down the house at our Detroit Live show.
She did.
She brought down the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's probably a two Dops joke in there somewhere, but out of deference to your mom, Daniel, I'm going to keep it to myself.
And wanting to keep your job, that might also be a part of it.
Nope.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Matthew, Stephon Diggs was freed on Sunday. Like Aaron Jones, Stephon Diggs. Crazy day. Seven catches, 167 yards, and three touchdowns. Three of them.
So I put Stephon Diggs on my love list this week.
Yeah, it's a good call.
And talked him up. But I made a bet on Stephon Diggs. Like, I put him in the love list. But you, not a bet. But you pushed all your chips in the middle.
Right.
Fantasy
Hitched
football now.
Yeah.
Fantasy Football Now, top of the show, you say bold prediction, put the camera right on me, 100 yards and a touchdown.
Minimum
for Stephon Diggs, calling it right
now. Wrong.
And you were wrong. What happened, Field? You
Instead,
completely blew that call.
167 touchdowns. Hunters, well, it felt like that.
Yep.
Oh,
it felt
huge
like that.
Day for Stephon Diggs.
167 touchdowns. No, 167 receiving yards and three touchdowns, 43.5 fantasy points. He is your week six scoring leader pending Monday Night Football. Matthew,
yes.
Some people are telling
and
me. Now,
he
it was
helped
funny.
Me. He helped me crush Rex Ryan like a grape in
well
the War Room
done.
League. I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm just
done.
Saying.
I like that.
Took out, took old Rex. Rex was talking a lot of trash in the War Room League.
It doesn't sound like Rexy at all.
Until about Stephon Diggs' second touchdown.
So it's a massive day for Stephon Diggs. And I enjoyed, and I'm getting this close to maybe just putting the notifications column on Twitter, maybe to like the far right so you don't see it anymore. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, wait, great call. Stephon Diggs going against a terrible secondary. Really audacious there, huh? Well, funny you say that. Stephon Diggs was started in just 44.8% of ESPN leagues yesterday. So literally more people that roster Stephon Diggs chose to bench him than play him.
Why do you read the comments? Legit question.
No. You know,
legit
this
question.
Is one of my strengths. I try not to.
And I usually we're broadcasting this on Twitter, so I probably shouldn't say this, but what do I care? Honestly, like, Twitter's become such an awful place. Like, I used to really enjoy interacting with fans. That was like a big part of my shtick for the longest time. And I so rare, right now, my settings are so like quality filters and muted work. Like, it's so hard. If you actually get a tweet seen by me, it's like, it's impossible to sort of get through. I can't tell you how many accounts I have muted. I rarely read my comments. Yeah,
Be honest. Am I muted? Just this is your chance to come clean. And by the way, if I am, I will take the high road. I will not be disappointed. I will merely accept my fate. But just shoot me straight.
Muted? No, you are not muted.
Woohoo! All right. Good.
You've come close many times. You've come close many times.
I love interacting with you on Twitter.
In all seriousness, and it's a shame because, you know, there have been some amazing people that you meet on Twitter and that are great, and you get praised for great calls as well. But there's just so much ridiculousness. I actually posted something on my Instagram today. Some guy that did get through, which was he like he's like, oh, I only started Philip Rivers because, you know, Matthew Berry told me to in his love list. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I ranked him 14th. Like, I thought he would do better than his projection, but overall, I ranked him 14th. The love list is merely about just people that I think will exceed or fall short of their projections, right?
Okay.
It's fairly clear. I always say, check the rankings, right? So, 14th. But whatever, I did think he would do better than his projections. Then midway through the game, he's struggling, right? This guy's
on
like,
lawyer.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Matthew Berry. You know, whatever. He's MFing me left and right, right?
What's that mean?
And then I'll explain after the show. And then I'm going to write it down. Secret Mama Squirrel, will you come and explain that, what that means to him? And then she's going to wash my mouth out with soap. I've already heard, right? Yeah. It's $4 a swear, right?
Yeah, it's 25 cents a letter except for the big one, and it's $1 a letter for that one.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mama Squirrel art. No, Mama Squirrel came to the fantasy show set, and she heard me use some naughty words.
You owe Mama Squirrel $23, by the way. I want you to know.
I know. I'm getting it to her.
You're
after
a
the show.
Sailor.
I really am. Anyway, and then, of course, at the very end, he's just like, oh, never in doubt, you know, like, you know, because Rivers ended up having a good
did
fantasy.
Enough to win
did
the game,
enough,
yeah.
Like a couple of touchdowns. Junk time scoring, and so ends up he wins his game.
We're on a tangent here.
We are a tangent here,
but let's get back to Stephon Diggs.
Don't read the comments.
It's a strength of mine. I just was enjoying yesterday's tomfoolery.
Read the comments.
Seven catches.
Seriously.
167 yards and 3 touchdowns. So even if it was a good matchup, the fact remains that this was the best we've seen from Stephon Diggs by
100%.
A mile, and he's been in other favorable spots this year and not capitalized.
Right.
The Giants... The week before, 2 catches. So don't tell me that this is merely as simple as the matchup. That certainly helped. But with 43.5 fantasy points yesterday, Matthew, I know some people are going to say, that's exactly what I've been waiting for. But is this the chance to pivot right now? Is this your chance, the best you're going to get from Stephon Diggs? You say to yourself, hey, I can parlay Stephon Diggs' monster day into a player who maybe doesn't have quite the same upside as Stephon Diggs. But it's more consistent.
Crazy. Yeah.
Right. So that's what I mean, though.
Look,
like,
so,
you know, a less, this is probably a bad example, but like, for example, Larry Fitzgerald does not have the upside of Stephon Diggs.
He does not.
But Larry Fitzgerald has been good for like 5 for 50 plus each week, it feels like.
Yeah.
So an example.
He's been good for like 15 years.
Right. I know.
I mean, to be clear.
Fair.
Specifically,
you know what I mean?
Year.
Like, that's an example of somebody that like super consistent.
Yeah.
But Stephon Diggs, the peaks and valleys are decidedly different.
For sure.
I'm not trying to say specifically fits for Diggs, but the idea of if you could parlay Diggs' big game into a player.
Right. Are you selling high on Stephon
Diggs? Considering it?
Sure. 100%. Stephon Diggs has driven me crazy in the league, and I don't know that it's necessarily his fault. I don't know that it's Kirk Cousins' fault. It's, you know, I think it's the play calling, and it's a lot of things. And also, by the way, credit to the Minnesota Vikings, who established an unbelievable ground game with Dalvin Cook. Who obviously Adam Thielen's there as well. And so it's weird with a, you know, fairly narrow, amount of players that produce fantasy points, but you know, they're playing well. I believe they're 4-2 now.
Yep.
And so, you know, obviously the defense is there as well. If there is something to sort of hang your hat on here with Stephon Diggs, it's this. Their upcoming schedule is favorable.
It is. Yeah.
So they're at Detroit next week.
He's
Stephon Diggs.
There. Yep.
80 yards or a touchdown in 4 out of 5 career games with the Lions. Then he plays my Redskins.
My Redskins!
Yeah. Our Redskins. There you go. Yeah. 6 times a wide receiver has scored over 16 points against the Redskins this year. 4 different times over 22 points. Kirk Cousins, former team. You think he wants to put up some points against
just
Dan Snyder and Bruce
game.
Allen?
Yeah.
100%.
I'd say so.
So, and then they play Kansas City. Kansas City, who has actually done a decent job on outside receivers and deep receivers, but certainly, like, you know, the Kansas City defense, and we'll get to them in a minute, has struggled. And so there is cause for optimism going forward. But if you're saying, like, is this Stephon Diggs' best game of the year? Yes, and I don't think it's particularly close. And so if I could get – Here's the range. Here's what I would ask for,
okay.
Right? Because we know the upside of Stephon Diggs, and I do think the Vikings offense has turned a little bit of a corner,
yep.
That it feels like they've gotten a little bit more balanced the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Mike Zimmer was actually, after being somewhat defiant, like when previously questioned about running the football so much, he kind of stood his ground and was stubborn. Yesterday after the game, he made a comment. He's like, you know, we threw the ball 31 times, rather, or 29 times as opposed to 10. And then you guys all like to see that. So it was kind of like, it feels to me like he's embracing this a little bit more over the past couple of weeks, realizing that even if you have won games and throwing it 10 times, maybe your chances of winning go, you know, further, go way up the scales when you actually throw the football consistently, not a ton, but more, yes, not enough. Yeah.
More balance. I think they found a nice balance. And so, you know, and I think, you know, Kirk felt happy about this. I think for me, the concern is going forward is that what we said after the Giants game, like, I think it's going to be a more productive passing offense than we've seen.
Mm.
I think my concern is that in previous years, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs were both must start, no brainer, top 20 guys.
Right.
And I think every week one of them will be.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know that there's enough volume here. I mean, listen, Thielen had a nice game here.
Yeah,
57
Thielen might
and a touchdown.
Just be there anyways. He might be that lock it in top 20 play as it is with the chance for Diggs to join him there on a weekly basis.
Do you want to play a name game for Diggs the rest of the year? Or you want to move on?
Yeah, I feel like I think we kind of established a range. You want to?
Yeah, up to you. This is it's your oyster. You're the one that called the shot on Sunday morning. I merely had him in the love list. You called.
Give me one more week of Diggs before we start definitively sort of stating where we would trade him for. Again, I think there's
fair enough.
I'm more the concept. I think makes more sense to me than
rest of the year. Who would you rather have, Stephon Diggs or Brandon Cooks?
Stephon Diggs. I know, but they're sort of the same person.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk more about Cook.
Yeah.
A little bit later
that just
on
gives
the
you
show.
Sort of a Stephon Diggs or Joe Mixon.
We'll talk about. Do you want to just take that right into this?
That's what I was doing. I was a little segue.
Oh,
that's a professional
man,
transition.
That is a great job.
Like
by
I
you.
Don't know. Like what do I have to do?
So I guess I would go with Stephon Diggs.
I don't know. Like I'm out here on an island, Secret Squirrel.
You couldn't have set it up any
better. I mean, I don't know how to. Like
I
we
know,
have a show rundown
know,
and everything.
I know.
You see what Mama Squirrel? Do you see what I'm dealing with? Do you understand what I'm up against over here? Yeah,
she does.
She's nodding her head.
She's
nodding her head.
Yeah, she understands.
She absolutely understands.
Every relationship, there's a reacher, there's a settler. Matthew's a settler in this case between he and I. Can you even trust
but
Joe
you both, both you and I married settlers.
It's yes, that's a good point. We reached.
Yes, you and I both reached.
Outkicked our coverage. That much is clear.
We completely did that, yes, sir.
Joe Mixon.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, 8 carries for 10 yards, 2 catches for 29 yards. That's 5.9 fantasy points for Mixon. He's been terrible this year, Matthew.
Yes, he has been. But more importantly, the Bengals' offensive line has been terrible. This
they
is why
had
this
John Jerry at left tackle yesterday.
I mean, dude,
it's an abomination.
Mixon was on the hate list, and going into this game, I think he's been on the hate list like the last couple of weeks. Like he's been sort of a like that one good game, the one game against Arizona. I was just like, this is your one week, start him and then sell him because. And I don't think it's Joe Mixon's fault, but there's two things at play here, right? First off, it's the offensive line that you just said, which
right.
is brutal. Like
sure. yeah.
it's rare for me to say like. You know who has a worse offensive line than the Redskins? But the Bengals do.
They definitely do.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so, and then the other piece of it is going into the game, one of the reasons why I had Mixon on the hate list was, like, when they go to the passing game, it's a running back by committee. Previous,
right.
like, last year, it had been, Joe Mixon had been sort of the main guy when they went to third down when they're passing. But Giovanni Bernard, coming into the game against the Ravens, had run more routes. Had one more target. Like it was a true running back by committee again when they were in passing downs. And truthfully, they're always in passing down because its defense is awful.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So this reminds me, it's not nearly this extreme, but when the Jets did not have Sam Darnold, and we'll talk about what they do have with Sam Darnold in just a little bit, it became so easy to defend them, right? It was dare Le'Veon Bell to beat you, and he just simply couldn't because that was, I'm sorry, it was dare Luke Falk or Trevor Siemian to beat you
sure.
because they simply could not. Instead, with yesterday with Sam Darnold, like the offense opened up, obviously. We'll talk about that more later. But right now for Cincinnati, like who scares you? Like I think Auden Tate, he'll make the waiver wire call. Like
sure.
I'm encouraged
well
by him. Tyler Boyd is fine. But besides that, Matthew,
they don't
got...
scare you. If you're a defensive
no.
coordinator, you're like, oh my God, how are we going to scheme to take Tyler Boyd out of this thing? Like,
you know, wins above replacement, the baseball
of course.
Stat.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you were to have a football equivalent of that for the Bengals offensive line, don't you think at least four of them are negative wins above replacement?
100%.
So Joe Mixon. So in the spirit of this conversation, Matthew, I'm trying to think who it was last week where we were deciding as a wide receiver and I was saying, you know, listen, this is a player that you can't move him entirely out of your lineup, but you can, if he may have moved down to the flex consideration, and if you have a good option, you would just bench him in favor of this other player. Maybe it
was
Stephon Diggs.
Who was the secret squirrel?
I don't know. I don't recall. Anyways. Well,
I don't remember
so,
either.
So Joe Mixon now.
One of us should really start listening to the show.
We really should.
I mean, I know. Look, you know it's not going to be me. So I'm just, it feels like it should be one of you two guys.
What else do I have to do around here?
I'm just saying. It feels like somebody around the show should listen to it. All right,
yes, sir. There's no way you can rank Joe Mixon as a top 20 running back right now. No way.
Absolutely not.
Can he even be in your lineup?
So, all right.
Because I don't want to say that, like, what you're trading for. Like, again, we're going to get a pair of old socks.
I got a text from a friend, and he was sort of half joking, because he had asked me.
Ito Smith for Joe Mixon?
No, but it's close. Like, he had asked me whether he should start Joe Mixon or Chase Edmonds. And I said, I get the question. I said, I'm still starting, assuming David Johnson's active, I'm still starting Mixon over Chase Edmonds. Cause with Edmonds, like,
process
he'll get some
results.
Playing time, but right. And so obviously that was the wrong call. But beyond that, he texted me and he says, I think I'm going to have to start Chase Edmonds over Joe Mixon going forward. And I'm just like, wow. Like, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend that again, just, you know, you would expect volume to be there at least somewhat for Joe Mixon, but, like the fact that that's a consideration, the fact that like a reasonably knowledgeable fantasy football player is just like, Joe Mixon's averaging 12 carries a game.
I know.
That's 27th among running backs here.
Terrible.
Zero touchdowns. Thirsty Kyle, who, like, I don't
is
know why.
Married.
He married Thirsty Kyle.
And still working.
Right. And still working. Like,
that you know, marriage just, may not last long.
No, I'm just like, exactly.
We kid.
You know. Anyway, so, I mean, they've been together for over a decade. Him and his now wife. And so, but anyway, Thirsty Kyle got married this week and congratulations to Thirsty Kyle, but he still sent along a couple of stats, including this one, which is fascinating. So Joe Mixon has 54.9 fantasy points so far this season.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
54.9. If you went through last year and just cherry picked his six worst games, you're just like, I'm going to find his six worst games and I'm going to combine them.
Yeah.
61.3 points.
Ridiculous.
Like he's worse than his six worst games from last year, by over a touchdown.
It's insane.
They do get it. They do have a favorable playoff schedule,
okay,
I mean, like, you're not, like, if you keep rolling them out there, you're not getting to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, here's his upcoming schedule. Jags this week. Then he's at the Rams. Bye. Home to Baltimore again, right? I mean, and then, like, it just gets ugly and uglier. Here's my question for you. Okay, so we all know Joe Mixon is bad. If you have Joe Mixon on your team, what are you doing?
So I'm moving him into my flex consideration, and then I am weighing my other options for flex considerations. And I'm like, so he is no longer in one of my RB slots, and I'm saying to myself, all right, now let's put him in the pool of flex players.
Right. Is it him or Auden Tate
right,
this week?
Literally, that's what I'm doing is players like Auden Tate, or I know he wasn't great yesterday, Mohamed Sanu. Like, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm evaluating him versus other players that I would consider in a flex option. Whether, you know, Mecole Hardman. I know it sounds crazy. Not that he was great yesterday, but still, like, who has a better chance at two touchdowns now? A Chiefs backup wide receiver or Joe Mixon?
Yeah. So you're not selling him. I just want to dial down.
You can't.
This. Yeah, I think it's hard to sit here and say, like, you know, like, sell him for 50 cents on the dollar, as it were, 25 cents on the dollar.
Never do that.
Yeah, because it's just like, you're not going to get the value. Like, the window's closed. If somebody still believes, you know what I mean? Like, and you could get something decent, go for it. But I think you and I both agree on this. Like, it is what it is with Joe Mixon.
30 seconds before we move on to Baker Mayfield. I understand what he has meant to the culture. I understand what the Bengals organization has traditionally been about, which is typically draft, developed, reinvest. They do not actively trade. It is not part of their MO, not part of their DNA. And I know that Zach Taylor shut down all the AJ Green speculation last week, but my goodness, you need to consider trading AJ Green. He's in the final year of his contract. He's 31 years old. You are on your way to two-a-ness right now. You are 0-6. The only team, not even the Dolphins are 0-6 yet. Now they'll get there on Sunday against the Bills, but still, you need to consider parlaying the one exceptional player that you have who's not under contract long-term for an asset. Yeah. Think about the future. At least the Dolphins think about the future.
But you bring up two good points here. First off, like the return of A.J. Green, which we expect this coming week.
We think.
We
hope
think.
Possible.
We hope. Yeah. Fingers crossed. All right. There's a chance that the addition of A.J. Green opens up this offense and maybe there's more running lanes for Joe Mixon.
I hope so.
Here's the other thing I would say. That the minute Joe Mixon has a good game, like he may fall into the end zone twice. It may be like a Chris McCaffrey game. Chris McCaffrey was like, right.
Yeah.
And so like, no, I mean, Chris McCaffrey had a bad game
yesterday,
just underlying numbers, fantasy-wise, he obviously had a monster game because he had two touchdowns.
Right.
But my point is like, Joe Mixon obviously could have a game like that. And once that happens, then you're like, sell, sell, sell. So there's a chance that A.J. Green's addition, like, opens up the offense and expands the defense, and maybe the underneath stuff is a little bit more open there. Yeah, this is...
It's sort of grasping for straws. We're hopeful. But not that.
But this is what it
it's
is.
Pretty grim.
This is what Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's so bad, I'm surprised he's not on the Redskins.
Sorry, it's kind of funny though. Keep it in the state of Ohio. Let's go from Cincinnati is southwest Ohio. I don't know, it's southern Ohio because it's on the border of Kentucky. Let's go to northeast Ohio, Cleveland.
Sure.
Even with all of his turnovers yesterday, and there were lots of them. Baker turnovers, get it? Ha ha! I wish I delivered a little bit crisper. Would have been a good joke. Has Baker worked his way back into fantasy considerations?
Mama Squirrel, I'm sorry you had to see that. I just want to apologize that you had to actually.
She's laughing. Look at her. She's so sweet.
It was a pity laugh. She said it was a pity laugh. She made that very clear. Very clear pity laugh. I just want that to be known.
I want my mom to come to the show tomorrow.
Yeah, she's welcome. Love Mama Yates.
I'm sure my mom would love nothing more than leave Nantucket where she is having a very Stefania-esque
weekend. Your mom is awesome.
Yeah,
I love
great.
Your mom. Your mom is awesome. Your mom was cutting a rug at the wedding.
Still celebrating, I think.
I'm sure she
her
is.
Her and Chapin are literally, it's her and Chapin on it. My siblings are not there. I'm not there. Just her, Chapin, Chapin's twin sister and friend at my mom's house. It's a girls' weekend.
Nice.
On Nantucket. Tough life they're leading.
Yeah, tough life they are leading indeed.
Right. So Baker Mayfield.
Anyway, Mama Yates, open invitation for Mama Yates to come to the show anytime she wants.
Baker cooked up some turnovers yesterday, three interceptions, but he did have his first rushing touchdown of his career, 19.5 fantasy points. As they head into a bye, Matthew, is there any chance you are working Baker Mayfield back into starting consideration or just a quick slam the door shut, look at the upcoming schedule?
Yes.
Okay. You confused me.
You asked me two questions. John Sawatzky is like sitting here rolling his eyes somewhere. anyway, John Sawatzky is the interview coach at ESPN for anyone wondering about that reference. All right. So here you go. And a brilliant man. So they are on a bye this week. So here's the concern. I don't know that Baker Mayfield is good enough to hold on to him through the bye in a redraft one quarterback league.
Well, I don't think it's holding on to. I think it's adding.
Adding.
Yeah, he's been dropped by so many people.
Rightfully so. But coming out of the bye, so it's sort of a mixed bag. It's a little bit.
I don't think it's a mixed bag.
You don't?
I don't.
His upcoming schedule is.
New England. You're starting him against the Patriots?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
You started him against the resurgent Denver Broncos?
Probably not. Okay. No.
You starting him against.
The Buffalo Bills?
Yeah. You doing that?
I'm not doing that.
Right.
Week 11 against Pittsburgh, no. But here's what's exciting.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, by the way, is quietly good on defense now.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They look great last night.
They're on pace for, going into last night, they were on pace for, I believe, a franchise record in terms of sacks. They're turning the ball over a lot. Pittsburgh's defense is fine. It's the offense that's just, you know, less than fine.
Yeah, so, coming up, right, so bye week, Patriots, Denver, Bills, Steelers. It's not until week 12 when they get Miami. And then they're at Pittsburgh in week 13, home to Cincinnati. The fantasy playoffs is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's the playoffs you're counting. Right. We've had this conversation with Baker like 12 times now.
Home in week 14 to Cincinnati, week 15 at Arizona, home to Baltimore in week 16, 17 at Cincinnati.
I'm staying away. The answer
is like this, for me, it's more of a better sign for Odell Beckham Jr. Hopefully over the bye week, they get some more stuff figured out. Obviously, you continue to start Nick Chubb. He continues to be just a fantasy rock star. Jarvis Landry is fine. And you know what? We'll talk about this after a commercial, but maybe a little Ricky Seals-Jones starting to find some life. Another decent game for him, given the state of the tight end position.
There are, yes.
But first, Field Minister Yates, tell me a little bit about DoorDash.
I will do that, Matthew. And I'll do it right now. Why not? Just go for it. Long day at work, Matthew. You have a tough day at school.
I have a backside. Did I go too early?
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I have a backside of the page. But
you know what, Matthew?
Tell me about DoorDash anyway. Yeah, we love DoorDash.
I'll restart. Long day at work, tough day at school. That's me. You suck at the office. That's Matthew. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app. choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you might find a new favorite, too, with door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada. Happy Thanksgiving, Canada. Order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. I like this part. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app. Enter the promo code FOCUS. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the code FOCUS. Don't forget, that's promo code FOCUS for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Now we resume and we talk about the Chiefs running backs here, Matthew. The Chiefs have lost back-to-back games at home, not entirely due to the offense. I would say, if anything, it's certainly the defense that is more concerning in Kansas City.
It is.
By far. But the running backs have
Bob Sutton's going like, see, one my fault.
Why me?
One my fault.
He brought it to Atlanta, apparently, though.
Yeah.
But how about the running backs, Matthew? Can you trust any of these guys? So yesterday, here's just the breakdown, the raw numbers.
Yes,
it's a three-headed monster now, right? LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams, and Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
Yesterday, LeSean McCoy had 8 carries for 44 yards, 2 catches for 0 yards. Damian Williams had 1 carry for 6 yards, plus 1 catch for 14 yards. That happened to go into the end zone, so you
right.
were saved
you
by that touchdown.
Out a little bit there.
Darrell Williams had 1 catch for 52 yards and 0 carries. 23 snaps for McCoy, 18 for Damian Williams, 6 for Darrell Williams. It sounds odd to think that perhaps the best offense in football, perhaps, and I get it, it's a conversation more this year than it was last year, could have no running back that you really trust? Is that where we've landed?
Yeah. The problem is that, like, if you were able to meld them into one player, like, and there are leagues,
all Kansas City running backs.
Well, there are leagues where you do, like, team running back, that play team running
back.
I've heard of leagues like that, and so it's not super popular, but there are definitely leagues like that. And so if you had Kansas City team running back, you're fine, right? I mean, so last week that would have been over 21 fantasy points on Sunday between McCoy and the two Williamses. The problem here is that. Like, it's all over the place. So going into week 6, looking week 5, Damian Williams played significantly more snaps than Darrell or McCoy. Last week in week 6, to your point, McCoy 23, Damian Williams 18, Darrell Williams 6 in terms of the snaps.
Yep.
Now, since week 5, since Damian Williams came back, it's still significantly on Damian Williams. 50 snaps for Williams, McCoy 36, Darrell for 18. That's since week 5. But again, that's skewed a little bit by week 5 because once McCoy fumbled, he was done. To me, they are all in the same. Darrell Williams is a handcuff and nothing more than that.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I feel the same way.
And by the way, somebody that you should a handcuff to, like,
he's
whatever,
player.
Like
just, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But my point is like
usage wise,
usage. But I'm just saying, like, there are other handcuffs in deeper leagues. I get it, but in a 10 or 12 team league, I would much rather have Alexander Mattison or Malcolm Brown or, Tony Pollard or, like, we'll talk about some of the other, backups, Blake Snell, like, Benny Snell.
Blake Snell would be great in baseball.
Blake's the
though.
Pitcher, huh?
He'd be great in baseball.
Yes, he would be. Benny Snell, sorry. So, right. So I don't know that you need to hang on to Darrell Williams, but that's what he is. He's a handcuff. I guess I still, going forward, I would prefer Damian to McCoy because it does seem like they use Damian more in the passing game, and this is a pass-first offense.
Yeah.
But, yes, they are both LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams are sort of like cross your fingers and hope flex plays and not much else.
It's just kind of weird, right? Because we're now in the midst of really a two-year
McCoy, trip. Damian Williams, or Joe Mixon, who would you rather have rest of the season?
God.
I ask the tough questions. I'm like a journalist over here.
I think Damian Williams, but it's maybe Damian Williams or Joe Mixon. I don't know.
I agree. I think I would go Damian Williams just for the upside there. Like I
catch a lot of passes.
Yeah, a lot of passes. My feeling is the Chiefs offense gets better and they figured out a little bit. I mean, not that they've been bad, but they haven't been Kansas City. Oh my God. The last couple of weeks, but they just got Tyreek back. Maybe they get Watkins back this week. They haven't had who they've wanted, like the same lineup out there every week. And
just,
Mahomes is a little gimpy as well. And so
he can have my ankle.
I would donate it as well. I think a ton of people
donate my ankle, right?
Here, one last thing for you on this. So I think we agree is that like whether you have McCoy or Damian Williams, they're both like just sort of like close your eyes, hold your nose, and hope flex plays until further notice. The time possession thing is weird.
Yeah, so yesterday they had the lowest time of possession for a home team since time of possession became a stat in 1977.
Dude.
Incredible. So teams, I don't want to say there's a formula to beat Kansas City. Because Kansas City is stinking good and Patrick Mahomes can do some otherworldly stuff. But your best effort is to run the football as much as entirely possible and I think play man coverage on defense and try to pressure Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
The Colts, third highest time of possession in week five. They had nearly 37 plus minutes for them last week. Houston, 39-48, which was the second highest this season. I mentioned that stat about Kansas City and time of possession was only amongst home teams. There was a team that played at home that had the football more than Houston did on the road.
Right. Mm. But I mean, and by the way, just real quickly, so in terms of what you just said, in terms of like that's the way to beat them, right, is run the ball, control the clock, play man coverage, press them, right? So they're on a short week at Denver this week. That's a team that can run the ball. Lindsey's been terrific this year, right? Then week eight, they're home to the Packers.
Aaron Jones.
Week nine, home to Minnesota.
Dalvin Cook's
been nothing short of amazing. Week 10, at Tennessee. And Derrick Henry. And then week 11 at the Chargers. So there you go. Week 11, here we go. Week 12, they're on a bye. Week 13, they're home to Oakland, an improving Raiders team. And Josh Jacobs certainly looked good before the break. Week 14 at New England.
Hopefully
they figured out their run game by then. Week 15, back to home to Denver. And week 16 at Chicago.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I'm with you. Home to Chicago or at Chicago? At Chicago.
Chicago. By the way, fantasy playoffs. This just occurred to me. Fantasy playoffs at New England.
Yep.
Home to Denver. Yep. At Chicago. Home to the Chargers. So weeks 14 through 17 at the Patriots. Home to Denver. At Chicago. Week 16. Like you know, it'll be freezing cold in Chicago late December, and then home to the Chargers. Are you selling Patrick Mahomes or Tyreek Hill? I mean, because their value's at an all time high.
I don't think the value's at an all time high right now. Patrick Mahomes over the past 3 weeks has 3 total touchdowns.
Yeah.
I don't think the value is as high as it was. I mean,
after the first couple weeks. Right. Sure. But yeah. I guess my point is, all right, so let's say let's say he goes off against Denver, right?
Like would have to be a pretty dang good offer. Like it'd have to be like another quarterback that you are unquestionably starting week to week plus another piece. That's
but
what
are, you,
have to
are
be.
You doing that? Like if you have Patrick Mahomes.
If he goes
Mahomes,
crazy, yeah,
if
I would
somebody
consider
offers
it.
You, I'm making
maybe
it up.
Not that soon, but I would consider it.
Somebody offers you Matt Ryan and Philip Lindsay for Mahomes. You doing that deal?
Interesting. I'd consider it. I mean, if Philip Lindsay was going to start for me, I probably would.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know, like somebody
no
like that.
No slight of Patrick Mahomes. It's more just that, like, you know, 2-for-1.
Right.
2-for-1 special.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold and the Jets.
Deshaun Watson and Carlos Hyde for Patrick Mahomes.
Not even a question. Of course. Deshaun Watson
is great.
I'm not trying to be too takey, but, like, is it possible that you could just take Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes for the rest of the season with, like, just straight up?
Yeah, sure. Like, it's a conversation.
It's at least a conversation.
I prefer Mahomes, but yes, it is
not
a conversation.
Totally unfounded to consider that.
100% absolutely is not.
Sam Darnold and the Jets upset the Cowboys. How about them Jets?
How about them Jets?
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Sam Darnold came back yesterday. It looked
only
good.
Only one team in the NFC East won in week number 6.
My Redskins, baby!
I mean, it's unreal.
Sam Darnold.
I mean, you know. Giants lost to the Patriots on Thursday, obviously, and the Cowboys lose to the Jets. Eagles lose to the Vikings, but one team remained victorious.
So Sam
that's
Darnold.
Right. Take that, Kenyon Drake.
Sam Darnold
that's
returns.
What the Dolphins get for trusting Kenyon Drake.
I know. 3 offensive touchdowns from the Jets on Sunday. They had 2 all season coming
into
this game.
And by the way, I mean, like, it's one game, small sample size, but give credit where credit is due because Adam Gase took a lot of grief this offseason, as did the Jets, about what really that's who you're hiring. And like in the 2 games that Adam Gase has had as starting quarterback, the Jets look legit. The offense is significantly improved. And obviously, he's gotten some help, right? They added Crowder, they added Le'Veon Bell. They've got, you know, Robbie Anderson back healthy, but still, that offense looked great like yesterday.
Yeah, they looked much improved. Le'Veon Bell had slightly more room to operate, as we mentioned earlier about how he just got bottled up in the preceding three games because there was no Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And I think there are two takeaways. First of all, we saw signs of life from Robbie Anderson. 192-yard touchdown catch. Just, you know, that's awesome, right?
Well, that's Robbie Anderson.
Which is great. That's what you're looking for him. But I think maybe the most important takeaway is Jamison Crowder. Because Jamison Crowder has played two games now with Sam Darnold. Two. In those two games, he has 20 catches on 26 targets.
Yeah.
Now, the total yardage is fine. 20 catches for 100 and, I believe, 97 yards. So he's not even 10 yards per catch.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, that was what we billed him as going into the season, a potential 100-catch player.
Right.
Even if it was good for, like,
averaging 13 targets a game.
100 catches.
13 targets
1,000 yards. That's fine.
Dude's averaging 13 targets.
That's good. Yeah, it's really good. Now
how much is rostered in how many leagues?
Like 60%. I checked all the Jets pass catchers except for Demaryius Thomas, who has back-to-back games of four catches, who actually makes the waiver wire combo. Deep league only, 14 targets over the past 2 weeks. But here's what I would say is I think we were just talking about these schedules coming up. Not willing to get too far ahead of myself with a quarterback because, again, you only play one per week. They play the Patriots next week. But a note on Sam Darnold, for those that are getting, maybe get 1 week ahead of the curve on this.
Okay.
Sam Darnold's schedule from weeks, I don't like to go too far ahead, but weeks 9 to 14.
Yeah, yeah. This is great. Go ahead.
At Miami, home to the Giants, home to the Redskins, home to the Raiders, at the Bengals, home to Miami.
I like that entire schedule.
Not only do you feel good about that from a fantasy perspective, like Sam Darnold, the Jets, they could legitimately, in those six games, go 4-2.
4-2.
Wouldn't surprise me. Lose to Oakland, maybe. Maybe to the Giants, who knows?
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise
Giants
me.
Giants a little bit better. Oakland's Redskins been better.
Redskins have more wins over the past 8 days than the Chiefs do. So, could lose to the Redskins.
But they could easily go 4-2. So, and by the way, so you don't love any of them against New England, although Crowder could potentially be useful.
Yeah.
I mean, because Gilmore doesn't really go in the slot very much, so you figure Gilmore's on Anderson and they try to bottle up Le'Veon Bell. So I could see Jamison Crowder being, you know, useful against the Patriots next week. But yeah, Jacksonville doesn't scare you the way they used to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at week 8, you don't love that matchup on the road at Jacksonville, but yeah, depending on how desperate you are, Sam Darnold has an unbelievable schedule starting in week number 9, and I think you and I are on the same page, is that we are more believing in him than not. Like, that we're buying this, that, like, you know, look, there was a reason why this guy was a top 2 pick coming out of college.
Yep.
You know, at the position, top 3 overall pick, I guess. And and listen, that was the reason we kept hearing why they hired Adam Gase, is because they thought he could, you know, work wonders with Sam Darnold. And in two games so far, again, super small sample size, but appears to have been the correct call.
Yeah.
So nice job there by the Jets.
On Sam Darnold. Chris Herndon, by the way, still at least, we'll see if he plays on week 6.
That's a tough story.
But they've gotten pretty good production so far out of Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
Let's rip through some of these injury updates. Sorry, we got double-sided sheets today, which I'm not normally
accustomed to. So we're moving to number 6.
So here we go. Number 6. Will Dissly has a scary Achilles injury.
This is awful.
Yeah, it sucks. Really sucks.
Like, Dissly, such a great story coming back. Like, and that one was a bummer. I'm a big Will Dissly fan.
Yeah, non-contact injury. Pete Carroll said after the game, it's an Achilles injury. There's not a huge range of Achilles injuries. It's usually a strain or a rupture. Sounds like this one's going to be a rupture. They anticipate him being out for a long time, probably the entire season, a year after missing last year because of the patella injury. Looks likely to miss the rest of this season because of an Achilles injury. He's been really good, Matthew.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah,
He's been nothing short of terrific. I think over the last 4 weeks, I think he was the number one tight end coming into week 6. So he's been great, and you just hate to see a young player like that have another major injury. They're going to do tests today, but they fear it is season ending. So we will find out more on that. But there is a good chance that if you felt like you had solved your tight end problem with Will Dissly, you are now once again sifting through the tight end waiver wire, and hoping for anything.
Desperate right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you write our free agent finds column, Field. Who is making the list at the position if you've just lost Will Dissly?
So we've got one player that will definitely make the list. We'll talk about Hunter Henry a little bit more when we get through the Sunday night football game, Matthew. But other than that, I think what I'm going to do is we're playing a little game of footsie right here.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you touch my foot?
I did.
Anyways.
I was trying to stretch out.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to stretch out.
We've got a lot of tight ends that might not necessarily, like, so they are not sure things at all, right? They are not sure things week to week. But again, you have to find somebody, right? Jason Witten, who's available in, he's not qualified for the column based off of his roster percentage, but still he's been pretty effective for the Cowboys. But some of the names here, in terms of their availability, Dallas Goedert, I mean, second round pick last year, has had some games of multiple catches, like that's encouraging. Darren Fells had a big day for the Texans, that was good, right? I mean,
they are starting to use their tight ends more.
They are, yep. Ricky Seals-Jones shows some signs of life, but he also went catchless the week before that, and the Browns go on to a bye this upcoming week. So what I'm telling you, Matthew, is
it's ugly.
You know that game? It's like the crane. You put the quarter. You know, you insert a quarter, and you have a chance to like catch a one like stuffed animal.
But, the like, claw.
But it's no sure thing that you actually.
I cannot tell you how much money I have spent on those games over the years because my kids.
Yeah, that's true.
My now 15-year-old and my two daughters are obsessed with, so anytime we go to a restaurant that has one of those.
Yeah.
Like I'm 5 or 6 bucks in, and they never work because it's always like the claw is always super loose. So they grab, and it's the worst thing ever because you basically see one of those, and I will now avoid restaurants that I know have them.
Right.
Because I will tell you in all seriousness, because it's the worst thing, because then you have to decide because they see it. And now you have to decide. You're either going to upset them. You're like, no, we can't. I'm not doing it, right? So then they're upset. The kids get upset. They want to do it. Come on, just let me try. It's just $1. Let me try one. Or they get upset because they try it, and they'll grab it, and then the claw just sort of loosens up. It's not a tight claw. You know what I mean? And so
they're all like
sort
of
rip-offs. They're sort
of
rip-offs, right? It comes down, it grabs the thing, but as it lifts up, usually the object is a little bit too heavy to be held by the claw and it always falls. And then the kids are frustrated as well. And they don't understand because it's not fair because they're like 7 and they don't understand that life isn't fair. And sometimes things are just there to rip you off. They haven't learned that lesson yet.
You're definitely the dad that goes up there, starts shaking the machine. Like, come on!
There is one machine that was just so, like, legitimately, the kids caught it. It was like fully, you know, like not like sort of half, like they'd grab the entire object. It was like a stuffed animal. They'd grab the entire object, and they were pulling it and then it just fell. And I'm like, that's such baloney because they literally pulled it perfectly. So I literally reached up. I did one of those. I reached up and I grabbed it. Hunt it for my kid. That's right. They can come arrest me. I'm owning that. Okay. I'm completely owning it. I'm definitely
Matthew
that dad.
Barry of
I'm definitely that
arrested.
Dad. I'm definitely
stealing,
that dad.
Stealing yeah, yeah, yeah. stuffed animals
when
out of the
machine. When you and Chapin have kids one day, you will see.
No,
and Mama Squirrel, you back me up on this.
Backing you up. I've been sitting there nodding
and
approving
100%. Whatever it takes, you do whatever you need to for your kid.
I'm surprised you didn't ask one of your daughters to just crawl up into the machine to be able just would've. To take a, you know?
Oh, they would have. But then they'd have been stuck there, and then they'd have been, like, pulling everything. No, just whatever.
Yeah.
You're one of those things. But
so what I was going to say is that.
But, right, Mama Squirrel, you do whatever you got to for your kids.
She 100%.
She's nodding her head. Absolutely.
So you made a great point. Basically that like, it's no sure thing when you go into the tight end basket, right? You might get a guy like Darren Fells who had a solid game yesterday, or he might go for one catch for 6 yards. It's the reality of it being such a scarce position, of depth. And that doesn't get any easier this week with guys like Greg Olsen on a bye.
Yep.
So, I don't have a perfect answer for you to replace Will Dissly right now, but we'll talk about one guy that if you are fortunate enough could certainly help you out along the way. Amari Cooper yesterday.
Just got an alert from the Fantasy Life app, by the way. The Fantasy Life app alerts, by the way, completely crushes you.
Yeah, they
know.
Do, yeah.
Saquon, Wayne Gallman, Sterling Shepard all practicing.
That's
so that's great.
Sterling Shepard as well.
That's
really good.
Did I read the? I may have written.
No. I hope. I'm not questioning you. I just know that they re-signed Benny Fowler today.
Right.
Which, you know, might be a sign that Sterling Shepard. I know Jordan Ronan had said earlier on, no, you're right. Sterling Shepard is out there.
Okay, good.
In some degree. But Jordan had tweeted earlier that they don't anticipate, or it sounds like he's going to be, let me quote him directly. He said earlier today, Jordan Ronan, and maybe this is just a
does a great job covering the Giants for us, one of our NFL Nation reporters. Yep.
Said Sterling Shepard's absence is going to be extended. That was an hour ago. So maybe, you know, extended, that's, who knows how long that will be, but The point is that, there's some progress being made. He is out there on the practice field. Let's get back on track here. Amari Cooper has a quad injury. We don't know a whole lot about it. All we know is that he left yesterday's game with the Cowboys or against the Jets after just one catch for 3 yards on 3 targets. After he departed, Matthew, we saw Michael Gallup, Tavon Austin, and Cedric Wilson take on a more prominent role with both Randall Cobb and Devin Smith being
inactive
yesterday.
So glad I started Cedric Wilson.
You had him, huh? Former Boise State standout.
Sure.
5 catches for 46 yards for Wilson, 5 for 64 on Austin, 448 on Gallup. Again, just one catch for Cooper. We don't know if he's going to miss any time, Matthew. Just if you have...
More is there of a heads up. And by the way, Randall Cobb also out of this game. Devin Smith was inactive in this one. So, Gallup, who's been terrific. And, credit the Jets, who really got after Dak.
Yeah, they did.
But my expectation...
Two offensive tackles down.
To me, the most interesting guy of that list, like, if Amari were to miss any time just watching that game, I thought Tavon Austin looked good.
Yeah, they've got some life out of Tavon Austin. Yeah. I think what it probably means... More than anything else, if he misses time, is just how high does Michael Gallup climb the rankings?
Yeah, sure, of course.
Other than that, I think most of those guys are sort of, another time using that same reference, grasping for straws. Emmanuel Sanders left yesterday's game. That was another win for the Broncos over the Titans. The early report suggests he's going to be good for Thursday night. So we're going to
mention. I'm happy
for
the Broncos too, by the way, because they got boned by the refs in that loss to the Bears. They totally did.
They did, sure. They should be 3-3 right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, and 100%. And they, you
great
know,
challenge
they,
on Thursday night against the Chiefs.
Yeah. And they've had a couple of tough losses as well this year. So, like, just like Vic Fangio as well. So you want to root for them. And anyway, like, they should be 3-3, at least 3-3. And so, anyway, it was good to see them win that, and looking forward to Thursday night.
We flagged Emmanuel Sanders. We think he's going to be okay. If we get more information today, then we'll update about what it might mean and potential waiver considerations there for the Broncos. We can go back to the Jets game for just 1 second, because nobody, and I mean nobody, enjoyed seeing the Dallas Cowboys lose as much as our friend, Mr. Stephen A. Smith himself.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6-0-1-0.
For those of you that are listening to the podcast and not watching, Stephen A. Smith just had an epic rant, that wasn't even a rant. It was just a chuckle, just an epic chuckle about the Cowboys losing to the 0-4 Jets. Check out his Twitter handle at Stephen A. Smith to rewatch it. I promise you, you will enjoy it.
Yeah.
The Rams, Matthew. How about this?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
So it's been a weird year for the Rams. As a matter of fact, it's been a weird 3 weeks. They have lost 3 straight games, first time that's ever happened during the Sean McVay era, even if it is just a couple of years old. Brandon Cooks, yesterday, 3 catches for 18 yards. We've talked about him. He's had 3 bad games this year and 3 good games. Have we reached the point, Matthew, where Brandon Cooks, and maybe for that matter, Robert Woods, are no longer must-starts in 10-team leagues?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet. Cooks, I'm more, if I were to rank them the rest of the season.
Okay.
My little Cooper Kupp.
1.
Robert Woods. 2. And then Brandon Cooks, 3.
Completely feel the same way.
That's how I would rank them.
But inverse order of how much money they're making.
Right. And if I was, I'm sure.
It is.
Yeah. Well, Kupp's still on a rookie deal.
Right.
So, but if we had a draft today for the rest of the season, my expectation is that Cooper Kupp would, my little Cooper Kupp, would still go within the top 10 among wide receivers.
Agreed.
He would be one of the first 10 wide receivers drafted. I think Woods probably still goes in the top 20-ish.
Ish.
And I think Brandon Cooks is in the top 35-ish. Like, he's in that, he's in that Stephon Diggs,
That's a good point, yeah.
He's, there's a number of people that were drafted after Brandon Cooks or in the same area that, and Stephon Cooks. There have been a number of wide receivers that were drafted in the same area as Brandon Cooks that have significantly surpassed him. Chris Godwin, Tyler Lockett, I'm thinking of. I think he'd, even after last week, I think he'd probably still rather Tyler Boyd than Brandon Cooks these days.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Volume.
Like,
so
it's interesting.
Here's the issue.
Who'd you rather have rest of the season? Brandon Cooks, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ooh, God, that's really close. Juju?
I think Juju.
But I'm saying these things so reluctantly.
Yeah.
I think Juju as well, that he was terrible last
night. Cooks or Diggs? We talked about this earlier in the show.
Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just get to some of the numbers, though. 11.3 targets per game for Cooper Kupp. Solidified, right?
Yeah.
9 targets a game, 8.8 specifically for Robert Woods. That's good. But Cooks is at 6 targets a game, Matthew. That's not massive, massive target share, all right? Now, they do get the Falcons next week, which is sort of the gift that keeps on giving to opposing offenses. But under 30 receiving yards in consecutive games for Brandon Cooks? Like,
right.
I think you kind of just have to take, you know what he is? He's a sort of a modified DeSean Jackson.
Interesting.
Take the good with the bad.
Right.
Under 10 fantasy points in 33.8% of his games.
So.
But hold on, though. Over 20 points in 26.3% of his games.
Right.
Feast or
boom,
famine.
Bust. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I forget who had this tweet, and I apologize because it definitely made me
was
laugh.
Me? Was it me?
You're very funny on Twitter, actually. It's one of the reasons why I haven't muted you yet. But no, it was not you. This one was not you. But you know, someone tweeted something effective like, "Wow, you know, the Rams' offense obviously struggling. They should really hire a Sean McVay type."
Oh, I think it was Kevin Clark.
Oh, was it Kevin Clark from The Ringer? Yeah. So Kevin's really funny. So anyway, good tweet. But anyway, yeah. Listen, I'm still a Sean McVay fanboy. I'm still a Sean McVay disciple. So my expectation here is that I understand why people want to panic.
Yep.
I completely get it. As somebody who has a ton of, I have probably my little Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, or Brandon Cooks on every, I have 16 teams. I have at least one of them on almost every one of those 16
teams and no life. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the gig. So anyway, but here's their upcoming schedule. You already referenced the Falcons matchup this week, right?
Yeah, which good. Yeah.
It's a great matchup. Then they're home to Cincinnati. Then they get a bye. You know, and I just sort of feel like next 2 weeks are going to be sort of get right games for that offense. And then they have a bye where they try to sort of figure stuff out. Now, the schedule gets dicier after the bye, right? So then they're at Pittsburgh. As we've said, there's kind of been a resurgence for Pittsburgh, and Goff has been bad on the road. Home to Chicago, you don't love that. Home to Baltimore, at Arizona in week 13, you like that. Home to Seattle in week 14, they just came off the shootout, obviously, in week 5. At Dallas in week 16, who knows? The Cowboys season going a couple of different ways, but Sam Darnold just lit them up. So other than Chicago and Baltimore there, you know, the schedule gets easier for them.
Sure.
And I have to believe in the talent of Sean McVay, and they get that offensive line figured out, and they figure out what they're doing. I think the bye week is going to come at the right time for them. And again, you're starting all these guys against Atlanta next week, and then we see where we are.
Yeah, I think I feel the exact same way. But it's a bit discouraging.
Sure.
It's not just the wide receivers that have been discouraging, though.
Dude.
It's the running backs as well. So Todd Gurley sits out yesterday, and we don't know what that means for next week, although it's at least possible he does not play against the Falcons. Malcolm Brown stepped in and started the game, 11 carries for 40 yards, no targets in this game. Darrell Henderson had 6 carries for 39 yards, plus a catch for 9 yards. So clear, decisive edge in terms of explosiveness goes to Darrell Henderson.
Henderson like had a couple runs where you're like, oh.
Yeah, you can see why they were so excited.
Oh, yeah.
That being said.
Bad fumble.
He did. Bad fumble. And Malcolm Brown got the goal line work yesterday as well. Now, they didn't convert those touchdowns or those carries into touchdowns, but he got the goal line work. So let's envision a scenario where Todd Gurley does not play again next week. And then just going forward, Matthew, do you have to play Malcolm Brown next week, and does he remain a player that you must continue to roster going forward, or is the value not significant enough that he's not a must handcuff in the way that maybe you believe Alexander Mattison to be?
Again, I'm going to side. Listen, this was a bad game. It was a bad game. There's no question around it. But give the 49ers credit. That front seven is ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, and so I think people had sort of dismissed them a little bit because of who they had played. They were like, yeah, okay, they're the second best run defense in the NFL, but look, they haven't played anyone real. But the 49ers have done what you have to do if you're a good defense and you're playing bad teams. They've crushed them. Crushed them like a grape. Like, and so, I mean, the 49ers, I think this was more about the dominance of the 49ers front seven than it was about, listen, the Rams have struggled on the offensive line here, but to me, I think if Todd Gurley is out, I'm going to have Malcolm Brown as a top 20 play on the road at Atlanta. If Todd Gurley's out for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have Malcolm Brown as a top 20 play at Atlanta and then at home to Cincinnati next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
And I will say that Henderson, boy, like you saw, it was just flashes.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of moments there where you're like, oh boy.
Well, so when something like that does happen though, I get excited, but I'm simultaneously asking myself, like, okay, what is he not doing?
Right.
There's that's keeping him off the field.
Because they've seen that in practice. I mean, they saw that on college tape. I mean, Sean McVay literally said when they drafted him, we had him as, we thought he was the most exciting player to come out of college.
So the question
explosive,
would be like,
or, right, I forget whatever, what the adjective
there was. Something along, you know, a superlative of some sort.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something that's holding him back, whether it's pass protection, whether it's durability, I don't know.
Concentration, something.
We don't know what it is. So it seems like
he had played two snaps coming into yesterday.
Right. It feels to me like there's no chance that Malcolm Brown just evaporates next week, even if Todd Gurley, if Todd Gurley does not play. So keep an eye on this one. But I think the optimism in Malcolm Brown for me is actually close to where it was going into yesterday. To your point, like, that's just running into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Like, at some point we need to get
a bad
over
game.
Like, when you're, like, when you're 0-6, or like, when you're 6-0 or 5-0, like, I don't care who you played. It's hard to win the NFL. Like,
yes, it is.
Ask the Cowboys. Don't try to undercut who the 49ers or the Patriots have beat to this point. They've won the games on their schedule. Like, we'll see what happens later on in the year, but for now, it's impressive. The 49ers defense is super legit.
You know, exactly. I think this is more about how good the 49ers defense is than there's enough of a sample size with Sean McVay's offenses that I think we can give him the benefit of the doubt and just maybe give, you know, tip of the cap to the 49ers and what they are doing on defense. Just an unbelievable game there. And the other thing is, here's a question for you. I have one last question for you and then we'll move on. If you have Todd Gurley, you probably likely have Malcolm Brown.
Yep.
Do you also need to get Darrell Henderson?
I don't think so, because I don't think you can afford to do so from a roster standpoint.
Right.
Also, because I don't think that Todd Gurley's absence is extended, right? So I think that, let's just say, I think next week you and I are still in agreement. You're starting Malcolm Brown over Darrell Henderson, right? If Todd Gurley sits.
Yeah, correct.
So let's just say that Darrell Henderson has a great game next week. Are you subsequently, but like, did they have a bye the week after that?
Cincinnati, then a bye.
So you're talking about potentially 1 week of Darrell Henderson at most, assuming Todd Gurley is not back. And even then, it's still like you don't know for sure. Is it a one-game sample? Like, I just think it's too much of one backfield for a short period of time to make that full three-person investment.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that.
I would agree with you.
Sunday Night Football was Steelers at home game, it felt like, right? I mean, the Steelers hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm sorry. Well, not literally. Sort of a Freudian slip there, right?
I haven't seen that bad a performance by a home crowd since the last Redskins home game.
Good point. Hunter Henry,
but it's
though,
the same thing. I mean, like, it's, yeah, it's
so
awful.
This game, back-to-back weeks where the Chargers just totally, just completely fall behind 24-0 in this game. I think there are sort of three storylines to get to. One of them on the Steelers side is Juju Smith-Schuster. One catch for 7 yards on 4 targets, Matthew. He has 3 or fewer catches in half of his games this season. There was a lot of optimism on him being not just a top 20 wide receiver, not even a top 10 wide receiver, but a possible top 5 wide receiver.
Oh, sure.
Whoa. Not even close.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they're down to the third string quarterback.
Yeah.
And things will get better. I think the expectation is that Mason Rudolph will come back this next week. But yeah, I mean, like.
But even
Matthew,
isn't it
stink and dunk.
Wasn't that great with, like, it's not like before Duck Hodges was in there. It was great with Mason Rudolph, right? So Juju.
100% not. They were letting Jalen Samuels throw more passes.
Yeah,
I'm sort of joking, but sort of not.
Almost, right? Juju had back-to-back games with long touchdowns. And not that long touchdowns don't count, but they're more difficult to repeat time over time. It just feels like there's no explosiveness to this offense right now. The only vertical presence they have is Diontae Johnson. And that even that is kind of just like, let's bake in a couple of deep shots per game just to keep the defense honest a little bit. You know what I mean?
Having said that,
yep.
I wonder if he's a buy low.
Juju.
Hear me out.
Okay.
They're on a bye this week.
Yep.
Okay, so Rudolph comes back, right? So hopefully, you know, again, more reps, right, gets familiar. Comes back week 8, home to Miami.
Like that?
Week 9, home to the Colts.
Sort of like that?
Sort of. I mean, like, not a matchup that scares you.
Yep.
And potentially a game that might have to be high scoring.
Yep.
Week 10, home to the Rams. That's not a defense that scares you.
Scare you right now,
Not at all. Week 11 at Cleveland.
Does not scare you.
No, I mean, they've been rather two top corners, but still.
Yeah, interesting thought.
Doesn't scare you. Week 11 at Cleveland. Week 12 at Cincinnati.
You like it.
You
like it a lot.
Week 13, home again to Cleveland.
You like that.
Week 14 at Arizona.
You like that?
I mean, maybe Patrick Peterson is back, and maybe
he is back this week.
Right,
yes.
He'll be back this week, but Peterson tends not to go into the slot, and Juju runs, you know, at least half his routes out of the slot, something like that, close to that. So at Arizona, you sort of like that. Week 15, home to Buffalo, don't love that. But week 16 at the Jets, that doesn't scare you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's two matchups in there where you're like, eh. But, like, is there, especially going into a bye week, there's a team in your league that maybe has Juju that's 2-4 that's sitting there going, like, I got to win this week.
You could snatch him away like a crane claw.
That you could get him dirt cheap. Like offer Joe Mixon for Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, boy.
But, like, I think that's a deal that possibly gets done.
No question. I think it would.
Right?
If someone needed to replace a flex consideration, sure.
Right?
So Juju, potential. Anyways, I like the idea of a buy low candidate.
I think he's potentially a buy low, as bad as he's been. And I would still rank him again if we were doing a draft today. I think he would go somewhere in the, you know, 18 to 22 range among wide receivers, which is a far drop from where he was going, because he was going like wide receiver five or six in early drafts.
But I don't want to put the onus. So we pay an immense amount of attention to fantasy football. It's not just something we love to do, but it's our job. So we have to. We are responsible for doing that. We are constantly setting lineups, making waiver claims, fielding trade offers, and sending them back out. But there was irresponsible action by the fantasy football community at large on ESPN.com over these past couple of weeks.
I completely agree with
Hunter
this.
Henry was available in more than 50% of leagues.
Multiple times we talked about this.
We talked about it at length last week on the podcast. We talked about it on Fantasy Football Now. We tweeted about it. Instagram lived about it. You name it. And Hunter Henry.
Fantasy show on ESPN Plus.
Hunter Henry, who had 8 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns last night. He's the number one tight end in fantasy this week, pending Monday Night Football. The number one tight end. And yet this guy is available at over 50% of leagues. We are looking at another bad waiver wire week, except for one player, Matthew. One saving grace. Your friend, Hunter Henry. This guy could be lock it in tight end.
100%. And so listen, I mean, in fairness to... I don't understand why he wasn't 100% rostered coming to this game. I understand why people didn't start him. We didn't know how much he would play. He sort of all of a sudden like, hey, he was practicing in a limited. He was going to snap count. He was going to practice in a limited fashion. They weren't sure he was going to be active. Adam Schefter, very early Sunday morning, tweeting that he was expected to be active, but we didn't know how much work he was going to get. So I understand like why you didn't start him. I have him in a league. I started Will Disley over him in a league. That worked out great for me. But
and I don't hate that call, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Knowing what you know, I mean, like Cleveland was like, it was a good matchup for Disley.
In hindsight, I would have started Hunter Henry, just so you know. But like, I understand in the moment why you did.
Yeah. Well, you have that 2020 hindsight.
Yeah, oats over there.
Exactly.
Who are you wearing today?
Jared Davis.
Got it. I couldn't see all the number from behind the glass. Oh, okay, 40. There we go. Yep, 40. Got it.
I understand this number was like 23 years ago for you, but
understood. And Mama Squirrel's wearing
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. There you go.
A lot of good karma the Lions today. You know that?
So for people that are watching us, because you can watch us live on Twitter and the ESPN's YouTube channel and the ESPN app, and of course the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page. And we just saw a shot of Mama Squirrel there cheering on Matthew Stafford and her Lions. So, Hunter Henry is a no-brainer, and I mean, especially like with Will Disley likely done for the season, like Hunter Henry, top 5 fantasy tight end.
He should be the unquestioned number one ad on waiver wires this week. Not even close. If you are one of those spots where, you know, if you are in a league where the top waiver spot, if you have it, you have it until you use it.
100%.
This is the chance to use it.
And by the way, if you are in a league where you use Fab, I would blow almost all my Fab budget.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, I would actually blow all my Fab budget, and you're like, I'm fine because I got Evan Ingram. I have to tell you something, because even though you have Evan Ingram and you don't need a tight end, a lot of people in your league do. And I assure you that if you were able to get Hunter Henry, you will be able to get a player back, whether it's for Ingram or Henry or whatever other tight end you have, that will be worth more than whoever you could claim on waivers over the next whatever. You know, I mean, like, you never know, right? I mean, so it depends. Every league's different. Something happens to Dalvin Cook. Alexander Mattison would be a top 10 guy going forward. Same with Zeke and Tony Pollard. Like, there's a couple of guys like that, but Hunter Henry is go all in.
One more thing here on the Chargers backfield. What a mess this has become, Matthew.
So awful.
Melvin Gordon played 35 snaps to 27 for Austin Ekeler.
I came back for this.
Right. No, well, I mean, they brought him back for that. It's a bigger question, right? Ekeler, 5 rushes for 14 yards plus 3 catches for 14 yards on 4 targets. Melvin Gordon out-touched him 11-8. And he had 48 total yards compared to 28 for Ekeler. Dude, they had a good thing going, and now their ground game stinks.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon gets 35 snaps. Austin Ekeler gets 27.
Yeah.
Austin Ekeler, who, coming into this game, had been one of the most dynamic, best players in the NFL. And they just, they killed them all. I mean,
cannibalizes use.
I thought Melvin Gordon looked better.
A little better last night.
A little better than he did the previous week in terms of just sort of his speed and explosiveness. But Austin Ekeler, once again, looked like the better running back to me.
I think so as well. Now, I don't think they're going to change anything, Matthew. If anything, I think it might actually skew towards even more Melvin Gordon week after week after week. But now, I have to check the matchup for next week. I think they're playing Tennessee on the road next week. Going into that game, like, are you confidently starting either of these players? Because the only way you're starting Austin Ekeler is if you have faith that he'll get, you know, passing targets, which last night, 4 targets on the road at Tennessee.
You are correct. They are at the Titans.
Just have a hard time sizing this backfield up.
An angry Titans team.
It's a hard backfield to size up right now.
It
two
really
talented
is.
Players. Neither one of them last night ran anywhere close to as effectively as we hope from them.
And by the way, in fairness, you know, let's give them some, you know, that Steelers offensive are, line.
Yeah, terrible offensive
like
line.
Like the worst offensive line this side of Cincinnati, right?
With tons of injuries, obviously. They're banged up. No Russell Okung. No Mike Pouncey anymore. It's a struggling group.
A little bit of a mess.
Good offense, good defense that they faced last night in Pittsburgh. But still, like I thought at their best, Melvin Gordon could be a top 10 running back and Austin Ekeler could remain a top 30 running back.
Of course. RB1
to flex.
Yeah.
And not so much.
Doesn't feel like it now. I mean, I think I'll probably have both ranked inside the top 25 next week.
I think top 30. Yeah. A little bit more of a cushion for me. But yeah, it's ugly.
One last thing for me on this game last night. Last three games, 11 catches, 99 yards, 0 touchdowns for Keenan Allen.
I know.
I had Keenan Allen as my number one player going into the week because the Steelers have been so bad against slot receivers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way Keenan Allen has 3 bad games in a row. There's no way.
It's crazy.
I mean,
I went into a matchup last night, I think up by like 25 against Keenan Allen, and I went into the matchup sweating.
Saying, sure,
like,
of course.
I'm losing 25 points. I feel confident I will lose this matchup.
I went into a matchup last night. I was up by like 2, and I had Keenan Allen. The guy I was playing had Juju and Deontay Johnson. And I'm like, you know what? I'll probably win this because Keenan's just gonna, you know, so ball out that like, and I don't think I ended up winning by like 0.5. Everyone was so brutal. But, to me, it shouldn't have been close.
Right.
And it was. And what do you make of that? Like,
randomness. That's what I make of it.
Yeah.
I mean, 29 for 403 and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 games. He was the best wide receiver in fantasy football
for the
first weeks of the season. So I think it's just like, if you told me through 6 games, Keenan Allen had 40 catches, which puts you on pace for over 100 for the season, I'd be like, oh, yeah, great. Sounds good. Over 500 yards for the first 6 games. Great. He's on pace for a monster season. He's on pace for like 105 catches for like 1,300 yards and 6 touchdowns. I think I'm like, totally fine. No big deal, right? I think it's randomness more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I also think this is maybe thinking he was so under pressure. Phillip Rivers was all last night. That line was played so poorly, and credit the Steelers front 7 as well. It really got after it. Is that it felt like he'd be back and he'd be under pressure and he was just sort of looking for big guys that could go up and grab jump balls because he couldn't plant his foot and really. So that's why I felt like Mike Williams got a ton of targets, why Hunter Henry got what he did was just honestly like, you know, those are two of the tallest guys that he has on the team.
But it just, I don't know.
That was my only thought.
I just feel like few teams sort of kick themselves in the shin in the way that the Chargers tend to kick themselves in the shin. They're 13-3 last year. Come on, playing the Steelers. Not at home, but in the stadium that is technically in the city that you play in.
Against a third-string quarterback.
Are you
traveling cross country?
Duck Hodges, respect to you. Crazy game for the Chargers. Disappointed. That is our Week 7 recap show. There'll be plenty more takeaways on the Fantasy Show on ESPN+. You'll be recording that show in just a little bit.
That is correct. We've and Secret Squirrel.
Packers and
maybe
Lions
Mama
tonight.
Squirrel.
Maybe Mama Squirrel as well. The battle of the newly married Kyle Soppe and Daniel Dopp. We are back tomorrow with more waivers talk, plus a recap of that game, any kind of news that might come up.
Absolutely. So for at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram, at Daniel Dopp on Twitter, and at Something to Break on the IG.
Yes.
I am merely at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, with the exception of the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. For all of us, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.